Okay, before we jump into another episode of RHO D&D, we wanted to take a quick moment to shout out our amazing patrons over at patreon.com/housewivesofd&D. We're an entirely independently run show, and we quite literally couldn't do it without your support. So thank you for joining our Patreon and helping us continue to make new episodes of RHO D&D. If you haven't checked it out yet, head on over to patreon.com/housewivesofd&D for access to our player character sheets, DM notes and confessionals, video versions of our episodes, our full-length behind-the-scenes podcast released every other Monday on our off weeks, live events, merch drops, the chance to name an NPC, and so much more. Patreon.com/housewivesofd&D.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
RHO D&D is intended for mature listeners. Content warnings can be found in the episode notes, along with links to all of our maps, transcripts, and ancillary content.
Welcome back to another episode of RHO D&D. I'm Valen Shore, one of your DMs.
And I'm Allison Zada, your other DM. And now we're going to have the cast introduce themselves, starting, as always, with Riley Rose Critchlow.
Hello, I'm Riley Rose Critchlow, and I play Cassandra Casternak, who's currently a puddle.
Elizabeth Ho.
Hey, I'm Liz Ho. I play Dr. C.
Liz Jenkins.
Oh, I got doubles. I'm Liz Jenkins, and I play CC.
Kosha Patel.
I'm Kosha, and I play Gigi.
And Nicole Weiland.
I'm Nicole Weiland. I play Anya Amovich.
Yay. Excellent. Welcome, everyone. So again, we're going to play our little game called Confessionals, which is our cute and on-brand way to learn a little more about you and your character. And today's confessional question is, what's your slash your character's go-to karaoke song?
And we can go in order that we introduce ourselves, starting with Riley.
I am not a great singer. I know that's a shock to all of you who have heard me sing on this podcast so far. So I don't do a lot of karaoke, but my Riley go-to karaoke songs so far in my life have been Eminem, usually Without Me. But I'm like working to change that to Return to Innocence. So if we do any karaoke going forward, I would like to put dibs on Return to Innocence. That's correct.
It's amazing.
And then Cass. I mean, Cass loves to sing. We know that. I feel like Cass is like, who's this girl Carrie? Why does she get all the credit? Where's Cass Aoki? You know, I think she's got some fundamental questions about the structure first.
Sure.
Fair.
Sure. Elizabeth Ho?
Dr. C loves Shallow because she loves a duet with her husband Christian, or maybe Vulture Christian. But if she has to sing solo, I feel like it would be Look What You Made Me Do, because she just wants to be like sexy, but also have people chant with her.
Nice.
And then I hate karaoke. So my favorite is to do the Law and Order theme song. And I do the
Are there karaoke places that have that? Or is this something you
can just pull
home?
It up on YouTube. That's what all the karaoke places do.
Oh, that's great.
My favorite answer ever. How about you, Liz Jenkins?
Liz Jenkins loves karaoke. I love Yacht Rock. So anything that my brother, my black brother, Michael McDonald sings, I'm down. He's really white, by the way, if anyone doesn't know who he is, and you Google him and you're confused. And then CeCe's go-to karaoke. It's so funny because Kelly Clarkson called me last night. So it'd probably have to be something like Stronger. Mm-hmm, sometimes she calls me and we just like chat. So it'd probably be one of her songs.
Yeah, so sweet.
How about you, Kosha? Karaoke song?
I'm not a karaoke girl. I like to just go up while everyone's doing their karaoke and dance. Feel a little too shy for the karaoke stage. But I feel like Kiki would happily sing anything that a 12-year-old girl would be into. Mm-hmm. I feel like maybe right now she's like going through a Britney phase, like thanks to Britney's memoir, but something like Fletcher, maybe.
Cool. Is that a Britney song?
No. The singer Fletcher. Do you know Fletcher?
Oh. No, but 12-year-olds probably do.
12-year-olds do, yeah.
Okay. Great. Cool name Fletcher. For, you know, a new Britney.
A new Britney.
Yeah. Nicole?
I'm always down to karaoke, always down to clown in that way. And then Anya can't really sing. And she has sort of like a troubled history with singing because her ex-husband, of course, you know, is a music producer.
Oh, of course.
Oh, right.
What about the sound baths? Does she sing in the sound baths? Or
she
just
sort of chants and she makes noises. But I mean, if she's going to do karaoke, she's probably just going to chant Season of the Witch by Lana Del Rey.
Beautiful.
Then just like move on and then hand the microphone off and do this. For everyone else, just clap quietly.
A slow, polite clap.
Yeah. I want to know what Bryn's song is.
Bryn!
Ooh. Castle on a Cloud, right?
Yeah, that's actually exactly it, Riley. It's Castle on a Cloud. Clearly. Valen, what about you?
Oh, man. I like to do a gender switch, like a Damien Rice.
Oh, I love Damien Rice.
Oh, my God, Valen, I want to do karaoke with you just to hear you sing.
Oh, okay.
Just so you can dance to Damien Rice.
And I will get up there and dance.
Slow dancing.
Sad emotion dance. Yeah.
How about you, Allison? Well, I usually have to follow Valen at karaoke, tend to go for something that is, I'm not much of a singer myself, but I tend to go for It's Gonna Be Me. That has always been my go-to karaoke song
really
because it's
one.
Really fun to act out, and there's a lot of, like, audience participation that you can force on people. Yes. So, yeah, that's mine.
Hell yeah.
Last week on RHO D&D, Cece returned to human form when Sister Pluvius pulled the ring off the stone dragon and was quickly brought up to speed on what she'd missed by Puddle Cass, who didn't waste any opportunities to badmouth Dr. C. Looks like Cass is on the hunt for a new number two, if they can survive a tunnel full of ground bats. Anya and Kiki met a hag in a hole, and Dr. C's FOMO was so intense, she flew down to join them. The hag removed their remaining anti-ring rings, shared visions of their loved ones left at home, and gave them a tarot reading, which left Kiki unimpressed and ready to ride off a head-on Brock, still sporting that mysterious black eye. Dr. C's adventure kicked off when Christian led her to a fresh corpse, giving her the opportunity to try out her new Vulture Queen powers, and Anya finally got a nudge from her ancestors, but was more focused on the next generation, when young Bryn seemed entranced by the sight of the dead body and joined Dr. C for a ride in the sky. Is Bryn Dr. C's special boy now?
Ooh.
What information will Dr. C get out of Bryn, and how will Anya handle their separation? Will Kiki run into any trouble out there on her own? Will Cece and Cass survive the ground bat tunnel? And are the housewives any closer to finding that very interesting sounding village Upper Thicket? Find out this week on RHO D&D.
So we left off in the tunnel with the ground bats.
Yeah, so Cass cleverly fed some of her rations to a group of ground bats. And then there's another group of ground bats that are blocking your way forward. They were intrigued by the sound that Cece made when she accidentally pulled a stone out of the tunnel wall.
Great.
But they don't seem like they're about to swarm yet. And yeah, Cece is leaning on the wall as though she didn't just try and fail to climb it. Cass is hovering with her mage hand in her jar, and Sister Pluvius is standing with the two tiny horses.
Can we try to climb again?
Yeah, the skill challenge for this is 3 successes or 3 fails to kind of get past the ground bat. So far, you have 1 success and 1 fail as a group. So you are not in any immediate danger, but you're not in any immediate success either.
And Cass, is Cass far away from me? I forget.
I'm just kind of hovering around in my little mage hand.
So Cass isn't a concern because she could technically hover over them into safety whenever she wants.
Yeah. Right. I'm more concerned. Like, I want to get you guys across safely, although I feel less that way about Pluve now because what the fuck? Like, literally human sacrifices, but you're like, no, I couldn't possibly kill these murderous bats. Like, whatever. but I would like to get you across safely and also all the stuff and the horses.
Fair.
Cassandra, as you look at Cece put on the crown, it's a very strange sensation that you're having because you actually are like feeling a lot of respect towards her. Mm-hmm. And maybe even some slight intimidation as she wears that crown.
Mm. You mean, what do you mean by maybe some slight intimidation? Is that something that I roll for, or?
You are affected by the aura that the crown is giving off, basically. Like that commanding presence
right.
that the crown gives, you are feeling that also from Cece.
Yes.
Just to let you know.
See.
Yes.
Yeah, so you might be, if Cece wanted to convince Cass of anything right now, Cass might be a little more likely to go along with it.
I think it's a roll with advantage sort yeah. of a situation with that crown.
Cass, I know you want to get the animals across, but I think we have to prioritize stuff. I don't think we're going to be able to get these animals across.
That's fine. It's mostly about, like, who's going to carry the stuff. So, like, you know, obviously, I'm a puddle in a jar. So that means it would be on you. Like, how do you feel about carrying all this stuff, you know?
I don't mind carrying it. Sis Pluth, do you think you could carry some things as well? Or do you not have hands? What's going on?
I'm already carrying all of my things and all of Cassandra's things.
Well, the horse is carrying it. You know, she's on the horse. It just means if we leave the horses, you would physically need to carry that instead of, like... And, like, Clarissa's with us, too. So, you know, we need to... there's a lot of things to consider.
That's true. Pluvius is very strong, so she is capable of carrying her items and Cassandra's items.
And Clarissa?
Possibly not Clarissa, because she's very small. Clarissa is kind of a big dog to her. So that might be something that Cece should carry.
We'll see what's left.
No, hold on, hold on. Cass is going to float over to Cece and just, like, whisper in her ear real quick and be like,
hey, I don't know if you heard my idea that I pitched to Pluv that she, like, shot down weirdly, but in my bag there are purple mushrooms, and actually in your bag there are also purple mushrooms, and that shit is poisonous, and if we just feed it to these murderous bats, I feel like we get across really easily with all of our stuff and our horses.
I think Cece just wants to, like, march forward towards the ground bats and see what happens. Just whatever. Why not?
Are you going to try to sneak?
Yes, I'm going to try to sneak.
Okay.
Yeah, roll a stealth check, and if it's a 13 or higher, you will be successful.
Ooh. All right, here we go. 14.
Nice.
16.
Oh, sweet.
So as you're tiptoeing through that mini sea of ground bats, you get a closer look at their eyes, and they look cloudy, and it becomes pretty apparent that they may be blind. That's all.
Love it. Cool. Cece's like, you know what? This is amazing. I took mime when I was 4 years old, so I'm used to, like, being quiet and silent. Mm-hmm. She was like a mime champion when she was four.
Mime champion.
So she's tiptoeing, and she's like, you know, like shimmying past the penguins, and she is making her way through.
Yeah, Cassandra, you see all of that happen, and she is successful as she does so.
So she makes it all the way across?
She makes it to the base, probably, of the beam, right,
yeah.
Valen?
Yeah, that feels good.
Hell yeah. Mime.
Cece has snuck past the ground bats further into the tunnel, and at this point is standing at the base of this kind of steep, steep slope that's almost just vertical, where the tunnel has partially collapsed. It's a nearly sheer wall of dirt and stone that has rocks and tree roots sticking out of it. And a long, partially rotting beam of wood leans up against that slope. One end of it is, as you can see, on the tunnel floor, and the other end of it is at the top of the dirt slope. And you can see, if you, like, kind of peer up high enough, you can just see that the tunnel continues on, and there's a glimmer of what may be the light of day beyond.
Oh.
Is Cass near me?
I feel like Cass has been floating along just in case there some shit went down with the ground bats that she would need to, like, intervene.
Cece's like, Cass, did you see what I just did?
Yeah, it was really good.
I know, thank you. Oh, I'm wondering if you could float up there and tell me what you see, like, if it's worth trying to get up there, if it's a way out.
Or... Oh, yeah, for sure.
What's my vision like as a blob of ooze?
I feel like you're very nearsighted, so, like, it gets blurry as it goes.
Rude.
You know?
And I also feel like you see by feeling, you know what I mean?
That's a brand new piece of information. So far, I've been seeing by seeing.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, I think that your vision is probably, you're just kind of nearsighted. So you can see things that are directly in front of you, but the further away it is, just the blurrier it is. Kind of like it's, you know, you're seeing it through a blob, almost.
Okay, Cece, yes, I will go up ahead and check, but will you please just keep an eye on Pluv? Because she has all my stuff, and I've got really good stuff. And if she decides to try some shit, I'm going to need you to, like, shoot her, you know?
Shit.
Sure.
Also, Clarissa has been left behind with Pluvius.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, she has all my stuff.
Stuff?
So, like...
That's a y'all problem. But Cece's like, yes, 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 of course.
So then Cass is going to float up ahead and check it out.
Oh, okay.
I feel like first she sets herself down because I think I have to renew this mage hand every so often and I don't want it to like randomly disappear and then smash my jar. So I think she's going to set herself down and renew herself first.
Okay.
Can the mage hand pick up Clarissa?
How much does Clarissa weigh?
How much does Clarissa weigh? That's a really good question.
Just the right amount.
What breed is she?
Wolf.
Wolf.
Oh.
She's wolf breed.
She's got to be 60 plus.
She's like a dire wolf. She's probably pretty big.
But she's a baby.
I feel like it should be her AC, right?
7. Her AC is 7.
Are you looking up baby wolves?
Just like looking up actually how much wolf puppies weigh.
They've got to be at least 20 pounds.
It depends how old it is.
Allie, this says females gain about 2.6 pounds a week from when they're born at about a pound. So it depends on how old Clarissa is at this point.
Yeah, so I think 7, which was
Let's
the AC.
Let's call her 7. Right? Yeah.
7 pounds?
Oh, she's
small.
Like a she's a Pomeranian.
Great. So then the mage hand can carry her because the mage hand can carry up to 10 pounds. So fuck yeah.
Oh, shit.
In that case, I'm going to set, mage hand is going to set Cass down on that little upper ledge. Then the mage hand is going to go get Clarissa.
Okay. So you're setting yourself down on the platform above. You're sending your mage hand after Clarissa.
To go pick up Clarissa and bring her up to the platform, yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, the mage hand, I guess, does it have a special way of moving as some other mage hands we've known have had?
I think it's a very twirly, it's like a very balletic twirly through the air. Like, it's got a lot of finesse. It does some pirouettes. And it, like, you know, it's like living its best fairy princess kind of life.
Beautiful.
And, again, it has a beautiful manicure. So it's, like, it's also doing some, like, fun hand stuff.
Can we describe the mani? What does the mani look like?
It's bejeweled. It's like bejeweled along the edges.
Ooh.
And then it like neutral base, I would say.
Beautiful.
Okay, great. So this mage hand fairy princess twirls its way across this like group of smelly, noisy ground bats and reaches down and picks Clarissa up by the scruff of her neck and carries her gently back over this swarm of, you know, smelly, noisy ground bats and deposits her gently at your side. Now, Pluvius has been left alone with the horses and the rest of Cass's stuff. She is looking very uncertain.
And now I think Cass is going to have the mage hand pick her back up so she can look down the tunnel as CC requested. But I'm going to be like,
just watch Clarissa. She's great right here. I'll BRB.
Okay, great. So on the upper level that you're on, as you look around, you see ahead of you one more ground bat. And this one is a big one.
It's the boss bat.
And it's unclear how it got up there. It must have just wandered up somehow.
Oh, he's so cute.
He's huge.
His name is Kevin.
Yeah. He's right smack in the middle of the tunnel. He's squeaking, he's clicking, he's wheezing. He smells very bad. And beyond him, you can see that the light is visible. There's clearly a tunnel exit, but you will have to get past this big ground bat to get out.
Riley, watch out.
I bet a blowgun would be real handy right now.
So this one can eat. This one eats.
Yeah, for sure. This one is not smirking.
Kevin.
There's no smirk here. He's just mad.
This one might eat people.
Kevin the boss bat, very upset.
I like that his name's Kevin. Kevin's such a troublemaker name, too.
Yeah.
Right?
His code name has been Cousin. But
Cousin Kevin.
Yeah. Fuck you, Cousin Kevin. How close am I to Cousin Kevin?
I would say you're probably about like 15 feet away from him right now.
He's blind.
They're all blind.
Clarissa is 15 feet away from him?
Yeah, there he is.
Wow, what's he doing?
And he's making noises like...
He's asleep. Him sleep.
He's asleep?
No, that's just the way he breathes.
Oh, he's a mouth breather.
He's like a pug.
Yeah.
Oh my God, Kevin the pug.
Yeah, he has not noticed you yet.
Is my speak with animals still active from previous? I feel like it lasts for a second, right?
You'd have to probably cast it again because he was not part of the targeted group that you used it on before.
Okay, heard. Mm. So in that case, I actually don't want the mage hand to set Clarissa down because I think as soon as I saw that guy, I'd be like, just hold on. So like holding her in midair. And then Cass is in the jar. Interesting. All right. Cass is going to squirm out of the jar. Okay. She's going to squirm down the platform and over to CC.
Yeah. So you do that. You're successful in slivering your way down over to CC, who is at the base of this beam.
CC. Hey.
Can I just like squirm up the leg of her horse? Or is she physically, she's walking like a person?
Yeah, she's walking.
Okay.
She's walking.
So I'm going to squirm up the leg of herself.
Yeah. Consent.
Or I mean, I guess I'm just gonna be like a little puddle, like tapping her on the toe, being like,
yes. Oh, Cece lowers her hand to pick up the juice.
Great. She'll squirm into her hand.
So there's a really big one up there, like one of those bats, but like a really big one. So I'm thinking if we poison anything, it should probably be that guy.
Okay, that or I don't think they can see because I just mimed past them, didn't make a sound, and they didn't even notice.
Some of your excellent mime work.
Oh my God.
So we might be able to do the same thing past this penguin, but we do got to get your sis because she has all your stuff.
She has all the stuff, and it's really good stuff.
Or do you want to go and get like some of it? So we have something?
I can't carry anything because I'm a puddle.
But you just carried that dog.
See, I'm just curious. Does Cece have any extra thoughts about this mage hand, like all of a sudden making an appearance, or it's just another day?
Okay. It's another day. Another day, another dollar. She's trying to get through the ground bath.
Okay, how about this? Can the mage hand float over to Cece and cast like, can you hold Clarissa for a second?
Yeah.
Cece?
Oh, yes. Sure.
Great. Okay, so Mage Hand's going to give Clarissa to Cece. And then the Mage Hand's just going to go into fucking Cass's bag and get those purple mushrooms.
The Mage Hand and Sister Pluvius are going to have to do a strength contest because Sister Pluvius really does not want to.
Pluvius is going to fight the Mage Hand?
Yes,
Pluv, you're so hot
Pluv
right
doesn't
now.
Know what the Mage Hand is up to.
I say do it, but do it quietly, both of you. Fight.
Sister Pluvius is no dummy. She knows what Cass is up to.
She's no dummy.
Yeah, strength contest.
So what am I rolling for?
Strength contest between the Mage Hand and Sister Pluvius.
There's about to be a what? A girl fight?
Wow.
Does the Mage Hand have stats?
It'll be Cass's stats.
Oh, the Mage Hand has Cass's stats? Okay.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. It's a negative one.
Pluvius got a 16.
Okay, the Mage Hand would like to slap Pluvius in the face.
Okay. Dexterity saving throw for Sister Pluvius, please.
It's a Kiki move.
What is happening?
It's Real Housewives.
Kiki would be proud.
Does it make a noise when I slap her in the face, perhaps?
If Sister Pluvius doesn't dart out of the way.
Sister Pluvius rolled a 13.
Yeah, I think you get slapped.
Man.
Yes, it makes a loud noise, actually.
I think Sister Pluvius is so shocked to be slapped in the face by this mage hand that she drops the bag she's holding and all of the stuff clatters to the floor, which means...
Pluv's bag or Cass's bag?
Basically, Pluvius has a bag that Cass's bag... Like, she's got a big bag containing all of her stuff and Cass's stuff. Okay. So she drops it. It makes a big noise and the ground bats all turn to look at her. Mm-hmm. So that is a fail. That's the second fail. Cool.
So we're at 2 successes, 2 fails.
So they're just staring or are they doing anything?
Yeah, are they just looking?
They're just staring. They're like, what was that?
They won't actually be activated unless a third fail happens.
Okay, so Cass's mage hand is now going to go to the stuff that's all over the floor and find the fucking purple mushrooms.
Can Cece stage whisper to Cass? Do I have
Absolutely.
Anyone? Cass, I think I have another idea. If you throw a bunch of stuff in one direction, something you don't care about, I think the bats are blind and they'll go towards the sound, kind of like that scene in Jurassic Park with the T-Rex.
That sounds great.
Or you can kill them. Totally up to you.
I mean, I'd like to keep the option on the table of killing them because it seems like at some point we're going to want to collect all the stuff that's now like intermingled amongst them. So like, what do we have that is loud?
Yeah, what do we have?
Do we have any pots and pans?
Besides your jar, but we can't use your jar on pots and pans.
Thank you. I mean, we could. It's just like nice to have.
Throw Pluv.
I'm not opposed to throwing Pluv.
How heavy is she? We're having this conversation.
She's so far from you guys, though. You'd have to go back through bats, right, to get.
She's just standing there frozen with the stuff at her feet. As the bats look at her.
She's so scared. You guys are monsters.
Well, she shouldn't have fought back.
I guess, you know what? Just poison the chunky one. Poison the plus-size bat and let's keep going.
Great.
So then I'm going to bring the poisonous mushrooms up and try and feed them to Cousin Kevin.
Okay, so the mage hand is carrying the purple mushrooms up to Cousin Kevin.
Yes, and the mage hand would like to dangle them very temptingly in front of Cousin Kevin's like face and sort of like brush them against his lips.
Are you seducing him or are you trying to feed him?
I mean, I'm seducing him into eating the purple mushrooms.
Yes. So he's sniffing and he can smell them and like his cloudy eyes get even cloudier and like dilated somehow as he just beaks the entire bite of the mushrooms into his mouth and like lifts his head up like this. And then you can see him swallow it as it goes down his throat. And he kind of like cocks his head to the side and like shudders. And then you start to see foam coming out of his mouth.
Oh, that's so fast acting.
And he starts to get like even shakier and starts moving from side to side rapidly. He's not going down yet. In fact, it seems as though he's having like the beginning of a bad reaction. Like he is rabid.
He needs an EpiPen.
He's rabid?
Yikes. Is that attracting the attention of the other bats?
the two under the beam, they're looking up.
But nothing, they're not doing anything. They're just sort of like looking.
No, they're not real smart.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's how they got trapped under that beam.
Yeah. They've been stuck there for a while.
And they're so hungry because they've been under there for so long.
There used to be more of them, but you know.
Oh, they ate each other.
Allie.
Oh,
cannibals.
We'd love to see them.
Oh, baby cannibals.
They're so hungry.
Cece, you look down and you see bones of other ground bats on the ground.
Hell yeah, bones. Can Cece reach them?
Yeah.
Hell yeah, bones.
How many bones can she? Can I pick up like a handful?
Sure.
And if possible, can I chunk them all the way back to the back of the tunnel, like away from where we're trying to go?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like past Pluv or at Pluv?
Past Pluv. I'm not trying to kill Pluvius.
Well, how many feet away is Pluvius? Because this will require some math.
I guess from where Cece is, Pluvius is probably, what, about like 20 feet back?
That's nothing. Cece was in a Lifetime movie playing a female football player.
Yes. Yes. More of that backstory.
She went through 3 days of training.
Exactly.
So, how far are you trying to throw the bones?
Like at least 10 feet past Pluvius.
Okay. So I would say this, 15 and above gets past Pluv.
Oh, God.
10 to 15 or 10 to 14
hits Pluv.
Will land 20 feet away. And then anything under that will be like 10 feet or less towards you.
Oof. Okay. All right. You got this, Liz.
Is this considering that I took 3 days of training for that Lifetime movie?
Like maybe she has advantage?
It's okay. Considering it. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Here we go. Okay. At 12. Do I get to add anything to it?
Let's do athletics.
Yeah.
Ooh, and my athletics is a minus one.
Yes.
11.
Okay.
Oh no.
So it lands right at Pluvius's feet.
Oh my gosh.
Cece stage whispers to Pluvius, throw them past you.
Yeah. I think
that's a failure.
That's a failure. So the ground bats, they were already looking at Pluvius. So this is great. And now like they start to swarm her.
Wait, even the ones that went to eat the rations, are they coming back now?
Yeah, because this was really loud. This was two loud things in a row, right in the middle of them.
They're swarming, good sis.
Oh, Jesus Lord.
Sorry.
It makes a loud echo through the tunnel when you throw these bones.
Well, she's not a main cast member, so like...
Liz!
Wow.
I'm loving this energy.
Liz!
I feel like Kiki, if only she could hear Liz right now.
I think we need to roll for initiative.
Okay.
Oh,
it's about to be
man.
A fight.
I'm rolling for Cousin Kevin, and Allison is rolling for the swarm.
The swarm. Wait, Cousin Kevin, oh, he's just foaming at the mouth, right? Okay.
Okay. Sister Pluvius, with her initiative bonus, has a 22, which is pretty good.
Way to
go. Great.
Kind of wish she'd saved that roll for an attack, but that's fine. And the swarm has rolled an 18.
Okay. Oh.
Cousin Kevin rolled a 1.
Good.
Cousin Kevin.
Cass rolled a 9.
Okay. And Cece?
16.
16. Okay, with that, I think we should switch over to the high road and see what the rest of the group is up to.
My goodness.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
So this is right after Bryn and Auntie Dr. C have flown off, right? So Anya's just going to hop back on Butter. And I think I'm going to try and trot to catch up with Kiki.
Great.
As my two little loves fly above.
Okay, great. And then Anya, just or Nicole, for Anya.
Yeah.
Can you just, we'll give you another chance to roll this foraging check to see if you can find one of those honey mushrooms that you had a vision about.
Oh, I would love that. Is that a nature check or what is that?
We just called it a DC 12 foraging check last time.
Awesome. It's still a 6, so.
Oh, well.
That's with a +3, you guys. So, you know. Thank you, DMs, for the opportunity. I politely and devastatingly decline.
You do see some yellow-looking roses, or they look like roses, and they have some thorns on them, you know.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to take a page out of Cece's book and just sort of grab everything that I can as safely as I can and put it in my bag.
Great. Yeah, okay, you've seen thorns on things before, so you're able to avoid the thorns and you put it in your bag.
Thank you. It's very charitable of you.
Okay, great. So yeah, you're going to ride to catch up with Kiki. As you're riding, you know, you guys, all of you who saw the hag in the hole, we were told about some interesting visions that the hag had about, you know, some things that you had left behind. So we're actually going to ask all three of you who saw the hag in the hole to roll a constitution check to see how much that vision that she gave you is impacting you today as you move forward.
And if you need a reminder, we are so happy to remind you.
I would like a reminder.
I would love a reminder.
A reminder time.
Okay, great. Anya's vision was of a teenage girl with long red hair holding an ancient skeletal cat. And they both look safe and well cared for, but sad. Dr. C's vision was a handsome man and two well-dressed children sitting around a dinner table eating a home-cooked meal with two small dogs at their feet. And at the head of the table is an older woman who resembles the handsome man, perhaps his mother. And then Kiki's vision, of course, was an elderly man sitting alone in his office, staring at a gold bar and sipping a tumbler of scotch, while in the next room, a group of adult children drink champagne and laugh. So, yeah, what are your constitution rolls?
Mine was 2.
Okay.
Mine's 18.
Nice.
Oh, wow. And mine is an 11.
Okay.
That's high for you.
I know. I really have to switch dice.
Yeah, I think for Dr. Christina, I think you know exactly who that woman is, Christian's mother, and you don't have the greatest relationship with her, obviously. And so however you're feeling about that is what's going on. For Kiki, I think that you are, yeah, you're relatively unbothered by this. You miss Wilton. But the fact that the children are laughing and celebrating your being missing or, what, you know, you being dead, I guess, is not affecting you for now.
Wait, that's why they're celebrating?
Oh, I don't know.
They're just celebrating.
I think they're celebrating their accomplishments that they learned from me.
Yeah, obviously.
Yes, yeah, that's clearly perfect. And for Anya, yeah, what do you think, Allison?
I think that, you know, it definitely impacted you, but you have other things on your mind as well. So it's not the overwhelming emotion that you'll be carrying through the rest of your day.
Yeah, but you do miss her.
Oh, yeah.
And Egg.
Okay, great. So Anya's riding to catch up with Kiki. Kiki is a little ways ahead up on the high road, riding on Brock. Confident, you guys are making short work of this journey. And then the path ahead of you clears and opens up into a larger open space. And we're going to ask for a perception check from Kiki.
Perception. Uh-oh. Hold on. Oh, God. Okay. 13.
Wait, you rolled a 13?
I rolled a 15 minus 2.
Okay.
That counts, right?
I think it counts,
yeah. That counts.
The DMs are beyond excited.
I know.
What is happening?
Oh, I didn't think it would happen immediately.
I know. Ooh, so soon.
Okay. You're welcome. Is her black eye going to heal? Is Wilton going to pop up? What's up?
So Kiki has rolled a 13, and she feels suddenly a chilling presence nearby. As if death itself is watching.
Mom?
And then with that 13, you can also hear something kind of grunting and snuffling in the trees. And then from the trees emerges a wild boar. But like no boar you may ever have seen before. This boar is large and glossy with thick, beautiful fur gleaming in the sunlight. It looks unbelievably soft and luxurious. As you watch, the boar gives a little shake and the sunlight dances off of its coat like the sparkling of diamonds. And it's blocking that way forward.
Oh my God, he's so cute in your map. He's so cute. Look at him in the bottom right-hand corner.
Yeah, so you came through this left pathway right here into this kind of clearing. There's a couple of large rocks embedded into the ground, as well as, you know, smaller ones, but they're so small that they don't show up on the map. And through the trees, because these are all like from the top of the trees, through the trees, you can make out this boar. Upon looking closer, it looks like he's also eating a bunch of honey mushrooms. And yeah, there's another pathway this way as well.
Okay, hold up. I'm confused. Is this boar aggressive looking? Is he friendly? Like, what's the big deal about this boar?
Give us the vibes. Yeah, vibe check.
Vibe check.
I think he's just, he's like eating. He's grazing. You know, he's like looking for stuff to eat. And he does not see you at this point.
And he's beautiful.
Yeah. His coat is luxurious looking.
Oh, like it would make a good coat? Okay. Kiki has not eaten in a while. Is that correct?
Mm. She had some pheasant at the Hag in the Hole.
Oh, yeah, I had the pheasant. Okay, so actually Kiki's feeling pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay, so Kiki is kind of underwhelmed by the boar. She's not really getting it. And so I think she wants to slowly make her way towards that other path.
Okay, I think you'll have to roll stealth to avoid the boar noticing you as you pass through.
It's not even slowly. Like, I think she just wants to go to the path.
Okay.
Does she need to roll stealth if she's not trying to be stealthy?
If she's not trying to be stealthy, then the boar will probably notice her as she crosses through that clearing.
Kosh, are you trying to sneak or are you just going?
No, I'm just going.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then the boar notices you as you go through the clearing. And while it was not looking particularly aggressive as it foraged on its honey mushrooms, as soon as it sees you, its eyes go wide and red.
Yep.
And it charges.
It charges you so fast and so aggressively. You must succeed on a DC 12 strength saving throw or be knocked prone.
Whoa, from
now,
the horse?
Now, she's on the horse, so I guess it would be knocking the horse down first, then it would be trying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oof. So, sorry, what am I rolling for?
Your life.
Your life.
You're going to roll a DC 12 strength saving throw on behalf of your horse, or it will be knocked prone.
A DC 12, does that mean?
D20, and you have to get a 12 or above.
Oh, sorry.
No worries.
Okay, hold on. Don't panic, Rock. Don't panic. Okay, what? And sorry, this is a saving throw. 10.
Well,
oh. Wait, you said 12.
No! Rocky. Oh my god, no!
Brocky.
What do you think it looks like, Allison?
I think that boar rams right into Brock's, like, probably it aims for, like, just right at him, right? So right into his front legs. And his legs buckle, and Brock kind of, like, takes a tumble to the ground, which knocks Kiki off the horse.
Yeah.
At this point, I think that we have to roll for initiative between Kiki and the boar.
Yes, I'm rolling for the boar.
Oh my god, this is infuriating. Okay, hold on.
And you did this, Coach! No one else did this! Okay. This is you!
Okay, wait a second.
I have hope. I feel like Kiki's going to get a coat out of this. She'll get a coat out of this.
So 12 plus 3.
13?
So I have a 15.
15, sorry. 12 plus 3, right. Great. Boar rolled a 10.
Kiki is in shock.
Yeah.
What's happening with Brock?
He seems alive, breathing, but is knocked prone. So it will take him
an action to get back up.
ASPCA is going to be all over this.
I know.
All these animals are getting harmed.
And I think, how close do you think Anya is at this point, Valen? Is she close enough to hear this?
Yeah.
I mean, Kiki did scream no really loud.
That's
so
true.
That's true.
Yeah.
And I feel like Brock made a pretty loud nay on his way down.
I don't know if Kiki's ever been this upset in the show.
Yeah. So should I roll also for initiative as I come upon the scene?
Yeah, I think Anya's close enough that should she choose to join the battle, she may. But that's up to you.
Okay.
But initiative will be helpful because you'll have to get through the scene should you want to just leave it.
Yeah. Okay. I rolled a 5 for initiative.
Okay, great.
Awesome.
All right. We're going to visit our other group of people up in the sky.
Sorry.
You're just going to leave us on that note.
Yep. All right. So, Dr. C, you are soaring in the sky. Christian's powerful wings are carrying you down below. You could see the figures of Anya and Kiki growing smaller, but then, you know, you're up in the sky. You're not looking at them anymore for the moment. The wind is blowing back your hair, and Bryn squeezes his little arms tight around your shoulders.
And Dr. C had just asked him a question.
Yeah.
Which was,
tell me about all the dead people? Yeah. Something like that? Yeah, that sounds cash. Dr. C feels little Bryn's arms around her, and it's giving her a feeling of comfort since she's, after seeing the hag in the hole, thinking about her mother-in-law, Corinne, and being like, oh, fucking bitch, Ordie's probably moved in, probably kicked Christian out of the primary suite, and he would probably let her. He's in the guest suite. But feeling little Bryn's arms around her makes her feel a little bit better. And she looks over and asks him, like, tell me about all these dead people.
So Bryn, on your back, he squeezes you even tighter, and you can feel a little tremble run through his little body. And he kind of shakes his head as if he's trying to clear it, and you can feel his long hair tickling your neck. And he says,
I remember they told us to hide and stay quiet. And we hid so well for so long. And they didn't come to get us. And when we came back out, they were all dead.
Jesus.
Dr. C says, oh my God, Bryn, who's we? Who are you hiding with?
It was Bryn and Elwyn and Silver and Lucia. It was all of us.
And where were you hiding? You must have been so brave.
And you can feel him again shaking his head. And he just says,
I don't remember.
And he starts to cry.
Oh. And Dr. C goes, Bryn, it's okay. You don't have to remember right now. Thank you for sharing that with me. Have you ever mentioned this to Mama Anya?
You feel him shake his head again.
You've been holding this all in by yourself. That's such a big load to carry. I'm so glad that you decided to share with Auntie Dr. C.
Yeah, he takes a deep shuddering breath, and you can feel that some of the tension leaves his body.
Oh, and Auntie Dr. C, once we get grounded, I would love to give you a little gift.
Ooh, Bryn loves the idea of a little gift.
Yeah, let's see. I want to give him... Looking.
No, I love the idea of Auntie Dr. C flying in the air and going through their bag of holding.
Right.
Bryn something, yeah. Hold for gift giving.
I'm going to give him the jeweled dagger.
Ooh.
Ooh.
I love that.
And she pulls out the jeweled dagger. And she goes, I never want you to feel unsafe ever again. So I'm going to give you this, and anytime you feel unsafe, know that you will be protected by this, and you can use it.
So you're handing it to him right now?
Yep.
Okay.
I'll give it to him.
Bryn takes it in his hand, and he squeezes it so tight, and you can just feel that his confidence grows a little bit, and he says, thank you.
Dr. C goes, let's have this be a secret between Auntie Dr. C and Bryn.
Red flag.
Run!
Adults shouldn't have secrets with children.
Mama Anya has told Bryn that he should be aware of people telling him to keep secrets from her. So I think Dr. C is going to have to roll a persuasion check.
That's fair.
To see if he will listen or not.
Does she get advantage because she just gave him a sparkly dagger?
I mean, that's fair.
Yeah, I mean, he's little. He's easily swayed by such things. So yeah, she can roll with advantage.
Okay, that's a 21.
Good job. Yeah, so Bryn seems a little conflicted, but he looks at the dagger and he agrees.
Dr. C goes, it's okay, Bryn. You can always trust Auntie Dr. C with hard secrets.
That's weird.
It is.
As you're soaring through the air, Bryn looks down and just, you know, peering through the trees and these little spots of clearing every so often, he sees what is an unmistakable glint of Anya's luxurious red hair riding through.
Dr. C doesn't see it, so she's fine.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think that Dr. C should probably roll a perception check to see if she hears Kiki scream.
Oh, that's fair.
Yeah, okay. That's a good idea.
It's a 4.
Nope.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Didn't hear it.
God damn it. We're so fucked, Kosha.
Not necessarily. I mean, Bryn could also roll to hear.
That's fair.
Okay, let's see if Bryn heard it.
Bryn rolled a 3. Bryn didn't hear it either.
Wow. Useless, I've been saying.
What about Christian? Should Christian roll?
Christian can roll, sure.
Okay, well, it's a 5.
Oh, man.
Let's add something to it.
Well, we'll see how the battle continues, because there might be more things that they could notice.
There might be more screaming they hear. Don't worry.
Exactly.
Yeah. Just flames. I'm excited to see what happens.
True enough.
Beautiful.
And now we will go back to ground bats.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, we're going to ground bats.
Ground bats.
Okay, so Sister Pluvius is going to roll first.
Oh, I forgot about Pluvius.
Poor Pluvius.
Pluvius is still alive.
Pluv has dug her own grave.
My bad.
So she currently has equipped Cass's short bow, but these are, you know, very close to her. So I don't think that the short bow actually is the best choice for fighting the ground bats, right?
Well, it's the only one she's got because everything else is on the ground, right? She dropped all the other shit.
Yeah, so she's going to roll. I mean, I think she's going to use her action to pick up the scimitar that has fallen to the ground.
Yep.
And then also she's going to try to, like, now that they've noticed her, there's no point in, like, trying to sneak past them. So she's going to use her movement to run closer to the plank.
Okay. So you can get 30 feet away.
On the horse, or did you get off the horse to get the sword and you're just leaving?
She's off the horse. Yeah.
Bye-bye ponies.
Sorry, horse.
Bye-bye ponies.
Yeah, that's doesn't bode well for the ponies.
Horses are having a moment this episode.
Do you have to jump over them? I feel like you got to jump over them.
I mean, did Cece have to jump over?
I mean, how big are they in comparison to Little Plue?
Well, they're swarming. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's not like as much
pocket. Oh, now there's like a solid.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, so maybe she can't run through them.
Gotta climb that wall.
I feel like a jump might need to happen before the movement to me.
Is she wearing Cass's boots of striding and springing? I feel like I put a bunch of stuff on her and I don't remember if I put the boots on her or
the
not.
The cloak for sure.
The cloak for sure. I don't think she's wearing your boots.
Okay.
Dang it.
They'd be much too big on her anyway.
Yeah.
I feel like that was a dig. They'd be too big on her.
Either an athletics or an acrobatics check, depending on the style of this, to jump over the swarm or cartwheel over the swarm.
Okay. She'll try to, like, acrobatics. She's going to try to, like, cartwheel through them.
Yeah, like an aerial, like a no-handed cartwheel.
Yeah, exactly. Cool. Holding the scimitar.
Oh, wow.
All right.
Wow.
So she, oh, man. She rolled a 2.
Babe. Oh, no.
Babe. Shit. Oh, shit. Babe.
I mean, babe. As Sister Pluvius tries, that she realized she's never actually done one of these before. and the weight of the scimitar takes her straight to the ground, making an even louder sound now. And so the swarm is going straight to... Yeah, it's weird that you're playing Sister Pluvius and the Swarm.
Yeah, it's great. It's really wonderful.
Yeah, Swarm is next.
Okay.
You played yourself, is what she's saying.
Yeah, so, all right, the Swarm then is going to, you know, Pluvius is laying there on the ground clutching her scimitar. The Swarm is going to, I think, try to bite her. They're going to peck at her?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's, okay, rolled a 9. That's a +4 to hit, which is a 13. And Sister Pluvius' AC is 15.
Way to go, Pluv.
So they are not able to penetrate with their pecks.
They're pecking her armor.
Yeah.
They do make noises, different noises now that they're activated. It's like,
meh, meh, meh.
So you just hear a bunch of that.
That's kind of cute.
It is cute and terrifying.
And if I'm understanding this correctly, all of the ground bats are swarming Sister Pluvius except for the 2 under the beam.
Yeah.
And Kevin.
And Kevin.
Yes, and Kevin.
And then Cousin Kevin, who's foaming at the mouth and, like, flopping around.
Darting back and forth.
Kevin. Yes. Yeah. Cece's next.
So they're not really a Cece problem.
I mean, it's true.
See, this is something Cece and Cass have in common.
Wow.
Yeah, you both just saw this all happen, by the way. The failed aerial, the swarm. Yeah.
Yikes.
Cece's going to head up the plank to...
With, I mean, Clarissa.
There's still a big penguin I have to, you know, I might have to deal with. I'm not being completely selfish, but, like,
right.
You're keeping them occupied, so I'll take this time to try to deal with the boss penguin.
Yes.
So I head up the plank.
Okay, great. So we're doing a balance check. It'll be an acrobatics check of a 13 to walk up the wooden beam and not have something happen.
Wow.
Ooh, a 20.
Oh, nice. Great.
Okay.
Wow.
And then do I get to add anything to that? Oh no, I lose an athletics, so 19.
That's okay. It was a natural 20.
Did you play a gymnast at some point? Because, my gosh.
Of course. I was too old to do it, but I did play Dominique Dawes in a Lifetime movie about the 1994 Olympics.
Well, yeah, they did that Lifetime movie where they flashed forward in her life.
And I was an older Dominique Dawes.
Older Dominique
Dawes. Amazing.
So not only are you just walking up this beam perfectly in balance, but you also do some sweet gymnast type moves as well.
Really sticking it to poor Sister Pluvius.
Yeah. I imagine you like starting off by like pointing both your toes and your right leg goes all the way up first and then back down.
Wow.
And then you do one of those spins where you then have to land in the same exact spot again. And then continue onwards.
Wow. In my mind, the bats have stopped and are like looking and give her light applause and have scorecards. I'm just throwing that in.
I'm really also picturing like the floor routines that gymnasts do where they do like kind of unnatural.
Yes. It's like half dance, half gymnastics.
Oh, yeah.
The people watching the video version will be quite pleased. So you are successful at doing that. And as you walk up that beam, you are then seeing that cousin Kevin for the first time, the one that Cassandra was talking about, the bigger one.
Oh, yeah, he's bigger.
Yeah. So you now see that, too. And he is just losing his mind.
But he's like not coming at me or anything. So Cece's going to observe and report.
Is he getting worse or is he just like the same? Like, is he deteriorating?
Like, it just happened.
Yeah.
He's becoming, if anything, just more frantic.
Yeah.
Okay.
And moving quite quickly for a ground bat of his size.
Mm-hmm.
And then it is
Cass's turn.
Cass's turn.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, Cass wants her shit. She doesn't care as much about Pluv right now because Pluv, you know, has proven herself to be useless. So what did the swarm just do to Pluv?
They tried to peck at her, but they couldn't get through her armor.
Well, they're distracted.
Yeah, I kind of just want to like wait for them to finish her off.
Well, you could quietly. You could
Oh my God.
Couldn't you quietly go over there? Well, I guess it would depend on what you rolled, but.
I mean, I could, yeah, I guess, can Cass have the mage hand just dump her out like on Cece's shoulder?
Well, is Cass in the jar right now though?
I forget.
No,
I
think you left the jar up there.
Yeah, so I think
where am I and what's happening?
Cece was already carrying you as she magically
made her
way.
Oh, so I'm already with Cece.
Yeah.
Okay. So I just did what Cece... I just did Cece's gymnastic routine with her.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, Cass is the whole time. Cass was like, woo, yes, 10.0. I don't remember how they do gymnastics. 5.0?
It's 10.0, you're right.
Gold star, gold medal. And I think, so then Cass is going to cast Unseen Servant.
Okay.
Okay.
And have it go get her shit.
As Pluvius is getting pecked to death, is like, excuse me, let me just pick this up.
Yeah. Wow.
What does this unseen servant look like?
It's an invisible, mindless, shapeless force.
Oh, amazing.
Oh, my God.
In the description, it says, on each of your turns as a bonus action, you can mentally command the servant to move up to 15 feet and interact with an object. The servant can perform simple tasks that a human servant could do, such as fetching things, cleaning, mending, folding clothes, lighting fire, serving food, pouring wine.
Amazing.
Once you give the command, the servant performs the task to the best of its ability until it completes the task, then waits for your next command. So I think my command is like, go get my shit. And so it's just going to go do that until that task is done.
Well done.
Amazing. I need to get one of those.
So you cast the spell, you don't see anything for a second, but then you start to see some of your stuff start to like move and drag, and it's your bag of holding, right? And it's being all put in there.
Yeah, and I mean, I think when I give the command to that servant, I would just like it to go get all the shit. So like not necessarily differentiating between Pluvius's stuff and my stuff, like all the
just
stuff.
All of the stuff.
But, and also Cass can't hold it, right? So Cece must have to hold these things now, huh?
I mean, when it brings it back, it's going to bring it back to us.
Well, but
together, there's going to be a big bag of stuff near
you
us.
You don't have hands.
Is this what Cece's telling Cass as this is going on?
Yeah, she's like, I can hold this for you if you want.
Great, thank you. That would be great.
I got all of it.
Thanks, Bib.
You're so welcome, sis.
This feels so dangerous.
Can I roll for whatever the opposite of hurt feelings is? Can I roll for good feelings?
Roll for good feelings.
For friendship? Yeah. Where's my d20? Oh, well, it's a 7, but I still feel like it feels nice.
Yeah. 7 worth of nice.
She feels something.
Yeah. Okay, wait. So that was my bonus action.
Amazing. Mm-hmm.
So I guess I still have an action and a movement?
Yeah.
Okay. Can the mage hand get the scimitar from Pluv?
Oh my God, you're going to take the only weapon she has?
It's the only weapon I have.
Honestly, you guys thought it was all Kiki, and look who's evil now.
Yeah, I want to give Cece the scimitar. I want the mage hand to go get the scimitar from Pluv and give it to Cece instead.
Okay.
I guess that's a strength contest between the mage hand and Pluvius.
Once again. Oh my God! What? both times in this strength contest, I've rolled a fucking natural one, which I have a negative 2 strength modifier. So that's great.
Pluvius only rolled an 8, but thank goodness that is enough to keep hold of his scimitar.
Yeah, as she gets potentially pecked to death.
All right, well, all I have left is my movement, and there's nowhere for me really to move. So I think I just want to, Puddlecast just wants to give Cece a tiny hug.
Aww. If these guys get taken out by these penguins, I will die.
I will laugh very hard.
We'll see.
Okay, so it's that cousin Kevin's turn. So he's,
it's Kevin's turn.
Kevin!
So he has this action called a screech, and I feel like it's appropriate here. because of everything that's happening with the purple mushroom. So he's going to emit a high-pitched screech, and each creature within 20 feet of the bat that can hear it must make a DC 12 wisdom saving throw or become frightened for 1 minute.
Oh my god!
Can I hear what the screech sounds like? Can we hear what the screech sounds like, please?
Yeah. Okay. Like,
That's very good.
Wow, I feel like it's eerily similar to the owlbear.
Yeah.
It had more gargle in it.
Yeah, no, definitely more gargle.
Yeah, sure. It had more gargle.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
I love that the screech stuns them into silence. I would love that skill.
Fallon, what does being frightened for 1 minute mean? Does that mean they can't take any defensive actions?
It means that they have a disadvantage on all of their ability checks and attack rolls while the source of your fear is in sight.
Whoa. Oh.
And you have to use it for acting, too?
Yeah. Yeah. You have to use it for acting, too.
You have to act afraid.
So get scared.
Yeah.
Okay, so wisdom saving throw.
Yes.
Oh, my God, it's another natural one. What the fuck is happening today, you guys? That means I have a 2, so I'm terrified.
Change your dice.
I know, I lost my purple d20. Where did it go?
Oh, it also tells me that being frightened reduces a character's speed to 0.
Oh.
And they can't willingly move closer to the source of their fear. Yes.
Wow.
But every single time it's your turn, you'll be able to roll it again to get out of the being frightened for 1 minute thing, since every turn is 6 seconds. So you'll be able to roll at the start of your turn.
Oh, you guys got a while. You guys got a while.
Okay. So that's 16.
Awesome. Loud sounds do not scare Cece.
So Puddlecast on Cece's shoulder is like, hold on. Like, holds on a little bit tighter.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
And what about Pluve and the swarm? Is the swarm scared by Kevin?
It was within 20 feet, and I believe Sister Pluvius is 30 feet away from Cousin Kevin.
Mm. Yeah, I did roll just for the heck of it, and the swarm rolled a 13, so they've heard it before.
They're like, ugh, Kevin.
Like, Kevin, shut up!
Yeah, it's scary, but, like, they're used to it.
So just cast.
What about Clarissa? Does she have to roll?
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
sure.
Oh, yeah. God.
Oh, well, Clarissa got a fucking 19. Of course she did.
Yeah, Clarissa yips back.
Clarissa's like, fuck you, Kevin.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
Cool.
Is Kevin going to do anything else on his turn?
Yeah.
Dang.
So that was an action. And I think, he's still, because of that the thing is, it's still, he can fly.
He can fly?
He can hover.
He can hover with his little wings.
I thought he was hovering back and forth, kind of in his, like, disoriented
state.
Okay,
so that's what's happening. Yeah, he's still disoriented. Actually, I don't think he's going to do anything else because he's not with it enough because the purple mushroom said go towards one of you. But he is blocking that tunnel entrance as he zooms back and forth.
Okay, cool. Then it's back to Sister Pluvius's turn, I guess.
Oh, Pluve, get through this, girl.
Come on,
so
Pluve.
She is going to try to, like, scimitar her way through this swarm.
Nice.
Great.
And so her roll to... Oh, she rolled a 16 to attack, plus 2 with the scimitar, so that's an 18. So she definitely hits.
Oh, so now she attacks the ground bats. Great. Can you describe exactly how brutally she murders these bats now that she's spent all of her time and energy trying to not murder the bats?
Yeah.
I don't know about you, Allison, but I kind of, because of that failed aerial, I kind of saw her on her back holding the scimitar.
Oh,
then
same. Yeah.
Okay, great. And wrestling with the mage hand. And then as she wins, is able to, like, maybe do a 360-degree swipe.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Sick.
Yeah.
And what's the AC of the ground bats?
12.
Okay.
So, yeah, she definitely hits them. And, yeah, she is on her back. And, the Night Bloom seed did give her extra strength. So she doesn't want to have to use it, but she can. And she swings that scimitar and like manages to leap to her feet in one single bound as she waves it around. And she slices it through the swarm of ground bats. And we're going to roll to see how much damage she does to them.
I love that she could do that, but she couldn't do the aerial.
She has limited skills.
And also is like, I don't want to hurt these things.
Yeah.
Now she's slicing heads off.
Yeah. 1d6 plus 2. It's only 4 damage that she does to the ground bats.
Okay. Yeah, that knocks them down to an 18.
Oh.
What does that mean, though? I would like a description of how brutally Sister Plouve.
There were 22 ground bats, and she has killed 4 of them.
How many does she behead them? Does she disembowel them?
Yes, she beheads 4 of the ground bats.
Okay, she beheads 4 ground bats. How does that make her feel?
It makes her feel both terribly guilty and very alive.
Oh. Well, all right.
Sister
P.
Yeah. I knew she was a freak.
Okay, it's that swarm's turn. They are, 4 down.
Okay, great. I guess they're gonna try to peck at her again, because that's what they do. They roll a 13. Her AC is 15. So once again, they're unable to pierce her armor.
Awesome.
Great. All right, Sister P.
Over to CC.
What all does CC have now of casts?
Oh, yeah. So you've got the short bow now, maybe?
Yeah, I think you have the short bow. That was probably the first thing that the Unseen Servant was able to bring over, because Sister Pluvius had just dropped it. So it was out,
Do you feel like the Unseen Servant was able to gather everything at once and bring it over?
I think that it might take like maybe 3 turns to bring over everything.
Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense.
All right. But definitely the short bow so far.
Okay, yeah. So, Cece, you see just an invisible floating short bow coming over to you, as well as, I guess, a few other items dropping by your feet.
Okay, so Cece was, again, a little too old, but she auditioned for the Hunger Games to play Katniss.
Oh, wow.
And she's like, oh, yeah, I took an hour lesson.
Via Zoom
with crossbows. And it was actually the wrong weapon, because in the movie she uses a bow and arrow. But that's besides the point. She knows a little bit about crossbows. So she wants to try to take out, unfortunately, our cousin Kevin.
Okay.
With the crossbow, which I know is going to be difficult because he's going through it.
His armor class is a 13. So okay. If you roll a 13, you will be successful in hitting him.
Here I go. Oh, an 18.
18?
Yes, plus 2, 20.
Wow. Oh, wow. So either way, that is a very good hit.
Yeah, man. And the damage is 1d6 plus 2.
I got a 6.
Awesome. Okay.
Sorry, cousin Kevin.
Yeah, I think that arrow goes straight into its little penguin shoulder.
As opposed to its bat shoulder.
Yeah. And yeah. You see its little bat wing just on that side, just kind of flutter and then collapse as if it is paralyzed.
My bad.
I think that stops him in his tracks. And he looks towards the source of where that came from, and you see all of this purple foam just dripping out of his mouth.
Is it my turn still?
I think so, right? Because that was an action.
That was an action, so you can make a movement if you'd like to.
Or a bonus action.
I think if I want to move, I just want to make sure I step one big step out of this trajectory. Yeah.
Nice.
Yes, perfect. You step out of the way of the center of the platform, away from where that beam was so perfectly nestled in the center as well.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We go over to Cass.
Cool. So I'm frightened. So remind me what that means again for my turn.
Yeah. You can't move at all, but you could stay on CC, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a disadvantage on ability checks and attack rolls while the source of your fear is within line of sight.
But I could cast a spell?
Yeah.
Okay. So I would like to cast Intrusive Thoughts on Cousin Kevin.
Hilarious. Oh, man.
Okay.
Yeah. And just whisper in his little brain, wow, Kevin, what a piece of shit. You thought you were so cool with your belly button, but who's foaming at the mouth now? You're not even a good penguin or a bat. You're the worst of both. Whoa. We all hate you.
Oh my God. Oh my gosh. Are you using a first level spell slot or a second level spell slot to cast this spell?
What's the difference?
The second level is more powerful, so it will do more damage, but then it will use up one of your spell slots of your second level spells. So you can choose.
How raggedy is he looking?
He's got about 26 hit points left.
Oh, shit. I'll just do the first level.
Okay.
Okay, and what is it? Does Kevin roll for anything with this?
Kevin makes a wisdom saving throw.
Okay.
It says attack slash save wisdom 13.
Okay, I'm going to give him disadvantage just because of the mushrooms.
He's poisoned.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the first roll was a 13, and the second roll was a 13.
Oh, shit.
That's exactly what he needed.
Crazy.
Well, fine.
Oh, I'm disappointed.
Okay, so the target takes half as much damage.
Okay, great.
So 1.5d6s? How does that work?
I guess roll 3d6s and then just divide it by 2.
And then just have it? Okay.
Yeah.
4, 7, 11. So, well, all right. So he takes 5.5 damage.
Great. We'll just round that up to 6.
Thanks.
Cool. Ooh, that was good.
Yeah.
And then what's, I do another wisdom saving throw for the...
Yes. For the frightened condition.
12
yeah.
and above and you're...
Oh, 19.
Nice. You shake it off, especially after seeing how much that affected him.
Yeah. I just need to insult him a little bit to be like, I'm not afraid of you. Piece of shit.
Great. We're going to go over to... Oh, it's Cousin Kevin's turn. Great. Okay. For some reason, that 13 and 13 roll leads me to believe he's just a little more lucid right now, probably because of the arrow that went into his body. So he is going to try to bite Cece by, you know, rushing towards her.
Uh-oh.
Come at me, bro.
So what is Cece's AC?
15.
Oh, wow. He got an 18.
Oh, no.
He gets a +3 to hit, actually, so he's at a 21.
Oh, yeah. He's gonna peck Cece.
Didn't she step aside, though? And isn't he blind?
He is blind.
And she stepped aside, so...
I think he runs towards that center but doesn't see anything, and he's just zipping back and forth until he makes eye some sort of physical contact, and then he takes a big ol' beaky bite into your inner thigh.
Your inner thigh?
Mm.
Sorry.
Oh my god, that's the fleshiest part.
That's also like,
it makes sense.
Your femoral artery, though, like that's a dangerous place to hit.
What a pervert. Jeez Louise.
I mean, he's small, god. He's down there while you're down there.
That's true.
That is 7 hit points. I'm so
sorry. Oh my god.
Nice.
Oh my god, that's a lot for Cece.
I'm sorry.
Dang.
I don't think you are, Valen.
I'm not.
She's taking nibbles. This means war.
Oh my god, I guess we're all gonna die here.
So as poor Cece has just been nipped on the inner thigh by Cousin Kevin, we're going to revisit our high road encounter with Kiki and the boar.
Mm-hmm.
And Anya just hanging back, waiting to see if she wants to join in.
So our initiative there was Kiki, then the boar, then Anya. So Kiki, you just got knocked off of Brock. I see you standing up, like, eyes wide. And you're about... Yeah, you're within melee distance of the boar itself, so about 5 feet away. And I feel like you guys are all around this top stone.
Okay, immediately, let's launch into a two-weapon attack on this fucker.
Amazing.
Yeah!
Oh, my goodness.
Okay,
so I'm going to go with the blowgun and my nails.
Yes!
And I want to go straight for the eyes.
Yes!
Wow. Okay, so his AC is 12.
Kiki has a bonus action of two-weapon fighting, so when Kiki takes the attack action and attacks with a light melee weapon, you can also make an attack weapon with the other hand, basically, as a bonus action.
Way to go, Kosha, on applying your character sheet to this battle.
Yeah, babe.
Yeah.
Right for the eyes.
Yeah, right for the eyes.
Just a needle in the eye.
So you'll roll a d20 and add any attack bonus that's associated with the blowgun specifically.
It's a +7.
A +7?
Yeah.
That's a 27, bitches!
Oh, this fucker's going down!
Okay, so that's to attack, so it's a really, really solid needle blow. It goes right in one of those boar's red eyes, but it is also, it's a pretty small needle, so it only actually does 4 damage on a hit.
Mm. What about the fingernails?
Yeah, we got the fingernails,
yes.
Right? So I'm going to roll for that.
Okay, great.
I'm also looking up what rolling a natural 20 in this circumstance might do something.
Oh, yeah.
I think it takes him out.
I agree.
I think he's just dead.
I think he died.
Oh, wow. Okay. When you score a critical hit on an attack rolling a natural 20 to hit, I think this is before modifiers, right?
Okay.
You roll the damage dice for the attack twice instead of once.
Yeah, do it again. So 8 Or is it? Was it an automatic four?
It's an automatic four, so we'll call it an eight.
Nice.
Yes, nice.
Yeah, that blowgun dart goes straight in between his eyes, and you see watch both of his eyes kind of go cross-eyed as he, like, tries to source.
Do I add anything on this? Yes. On the fingernail?
You have a plus four attack bonus for your fingernails.
Wow.
So you'll add that to your d20 to see if you hit.
That's a total of 10.
Okay. So the fingernails, sadly, you just kind of like swipe at him and it's startling, but it doesn't actually make contact.
Hold on. I want to use a third thing.
Oh.
I have a bonus action.
Fuck yeah.
So action surge, I can push myself beyond my normal limits for a minute. On my turn, I get an additional action.
Whoa. So wait, what are you doing? Is it another fingernail swipe or?
Yeah. It's another fingernail swipe.
Nice.
Oh, God, it's a one.
Oh, no.
Plus four.
It's a five.
Yeah.
Alas.
Yeah. But it was a valiant effort.
Dang.
Yeah.
Okay. That was really rough.
Yeah.
Ah! She screams in despair.
Yeah, you see the boar shake just a little bit out of fear.
Cool. So the boar has just been blowgunned in the face by Kiki, and she's swiped at it several times without actually making contact. So he's hurt, and he's also kind of startled, but he feels like he's got this. So he's going to paw the ground, and he's going to get ready to make his next attack. And why don't we get Kiki's thoughts and feelings as she faces down this creature?
Kiki is so stressed. I think she's in a highly, like, activated traumatic response state right now. She is ready to attack. She has got her hands on her weapons, ready to launch. I don't think she's thinking much right now.
Okay.
I think she's just ready to attack.
Yeah. Anya, as you ride up onto the scene and you are witnessing for the first time Kiki facing off this wild boar with a blowgun in between its eyes, what are you thinking and feeling?
I think that as Anya rounds and sees the scene before her with this boar bearing down on Kiki and Brock, she goes immediately into defensive mode and is ready to fuck that beautiful boar right up.
Cassandra, you're a puddle. You were really afraid and now you're not. What are you thinking and feeling?
I think Cass is feeling very safe, nuzzled up on Cece's shoulder because she's so impressed with Cece. Cece just did some of the most beautiful gymnastics she's ever seen. And she's an avid watcher, so she, like, knows the rules. And it feels so good to have somebody fighting on her side and you know, that we have common interests in mind, like self-preservation and, like, fuck Pluvius. She's still, like, disappointed in Pluvius for being so weird about shit. And now she's even more confused because she's looked over and Pluvius is just beheading bats. So it's like, what the fuck? But yeah, so far, so good. She feels like we're in a good position to take down foaming Kevin. And yeah, I think she just sort of, like, nuzzles up a little closer to Cece and takes a deep breath and is like,
yeah.
Oh, Cece, you just got that beak to the inner thigh. What are you thinking and feeling?
Oh yeah, she just got attacked. Well,
you know, Cece hates being attacked, but she will say if she had to get a little chunk of anything taken off of her body, it was going to be the thighs anyway. So she's trying to look at the plus side. She's trying to look at the plus side, but maybe she saved a little money from plastic surgery. I don't know.
Yeah. And Sister Pluvius, just beheading four out of the 22 ground bats. What are you thinking and feeling?
Pluvius is feeling very powerful and also very apologetic, but as has happened in the past, when she actually gets to fight, she does feel very alive and like there's a source within her that she's tapping into that she's a little bit afraid of. So she is battle ready, but she's not sure how she'll feel on the other side.
And Dr. Christina, soaring through the air with your special version of a special boy, Bryn, what are you thinking and feeling?
I got smarter, I got hotter in the nick of time. Honey, I rose up from the dead, I do it all the time. I got a list of names as yours is in red underline. I check it once, then I check it twice. Ooh!
Amazing.
Is she singing this or this is just what she's thinking and feeling?
She's thinking it. And she's singing thinking it.
And with that, this has been another epic installment of RHO D&D.
Woo!
Thanks for listening to Real Housewives of Dungeons & Dragons. Want more RHO D&D? Head to patreon.com/housewivesofdnd for access to our player character sheets, ad-free episodes, merch drops, our Discord mansion, detailed notes and confessionals from our DMs, full-length video versions of our episodes, our bi-weekly behind-the-scenes podcast, live events, bonus content, and more. patreon.com/housewivesofdnd. Follow us across social media at Housewives of D&D and send us your thoughts at housewivesofdnd@gmail.com. Our DMs are Valen Shore and Allison Zada, and our players are Riley Rose Critchlow, Elizabeth Ho, Liz Jenkins, Kosha Patel, and Nicole Weiland. Original music by Valen Shore and sound design by Kevin Senzaki. Real Housewives of Dungeons & Dragons is produced by Reality RPG and is not associated with Bravo or Wizards of the Coast.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.